I cannot help but think of the 1996 movie Happy Gilmore whenever I read this gospel reading. For those of you who are not familiar with the movie, Adam Sandler plays the title character who has always dreamed of playing hockey. And he even has a really nice slap shot with a lot of power that to go with it. But there are other fundamentals of the game that he just can't seem to master. Like perhaps skating, which apparently is important when you play hockey. After learning that he doesn't have a future in the sport, Happy discovers that he can drive a golf ball further than almost anyone else. And at the urging of others and realizing that he can make some money, Happy quickly begins playing golf on the pro circuit in an effort to save his grandmother's house. But for as well as Happy can drive a golf ball, he is equally bad at putting. He just can't seem to get the ball in the hole once it's on the green. At one tournament, as Happy is preparing to putt, Gary Potter, his caddy, crouches down next to him and gives him a pep talk. He tells him, "Happy, the ball has its own energy or life force, if you will. Its natural environment is in the hole. Why don't you send him home? His bags are packed. He has his plane ticket. Bring him to the airport. Send him home. Send him home." Happy replies, "I'll send him home. It's time to go home, ball." And then he gets up and goes to putt. It's this scene that conjures up in my mind as I read this section of the Sermon on the Mount found in Matthew's Gospel. Simply because of the final verse. "Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." But before I connect those dots for you, we've got to back up a little bit and take a look at the rest of the text. By the time that we arrive at this section of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus has been preaching for a little while. And over the last few weeks, we have heard much of that sermon here in worship. He's blessed those that the world would not consider blessed and proclaimed the people of God as salt and light. And then he's followed it up with a few rules of how we should live. Then we get to this section, which seems like too much. Well, I mean, really, the whole thing seems like too much. Jesus takes everything that we know and then goes a step further. He says, "You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but I say to you, do not resist an evildoer. But if anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other one also. If someone wants to sue you for your coat, give them your cloak. If they ask you to go a mile, then go a second." It's almost as if nothing is good enough for Jesus. So it's of no surprise then that we get to the end and Jesus finishes by saying, "Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." It leaves me wondering, how shall we be perfect if nothing is ever good enough? Except that perfect may not be the best way to translate the Greek word that Matthew uses here. The word that Matthew uses, teleos, or teleos, comes from the Greek word telos, which means end, purpose, or completeness. So when Jesus says that we should be teleos just as our Heavenly Father is teleos, he means that we should attain our end or purpose just as God already has. We should work toward the goal to which we were intended, or more succinctly, to be human as we were made to be. It's as if Jesus is reminding us to be like the golf ball waiting for Happy Gilmore to hit it into the hole. The ball has its own energy or life force, if you will. Its natural environment is in the hole. Why don't you send him home? The The ball just wants to be in the hole. That's what it is made for. Any shot off the tee that does not help the ball get in the hole is wasted. So if it's lost in the trees or the underbrush, or if it lands in a water hazard, then the ball will never fulfill its purpose. But of course, Jesus wasn't talking about golf balls. He was talking about us. And we are made to be disciples of Jesus out in the world. We are to be followers of Jesus who learn to live the ways that he lives, to live as God does, to bring a bit of God with us wherever it is we go. So much of what Jesus is trying to do in the Sermon on the Mount is to get us to realize where we belong, and that is out in the world, being salt and light for a world so desperately in need of preservation, flavor, and illumination. Being love and grace in a world twisted by sin, vengeance, and death. Jesus tells us how that looks in a world ruled by sin and the devil. It means turning the other cheek and going the extra mile. Because love isn't love if it only serves you. Love extends beyond what the other person can do for us, beyond what has already been done for us. To be disciples of Jesus is to love those we wouldn't otherwise love. To be that love for the world. But also, Jesus says to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers and sisters, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Of all of Jesus' instruction, what we, America, needs to hear right now. For all of us to love our enemies and to pray for those who persecute us. It does not matter who you consider to be your enemy, whether it's Muslims, Democrats, Republicans, or even the president. Love them. Pray for them. Loving them does not mean that you allow them to harm you if it can be prevented. And it does mean that you should establish good boundaries and to maintain them. But it does not mean reviling them or casting them as wholly other from you. Seek to understand them and to have some measure of empathy for them. Love them in spite of whatever differences you may have. Because they are God's creation too, just as much as you are. God loves them just as much as God loves you. And there's nothing that will ever change that. God makes the sun to rise on the evil and on the good. God sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. God loves those who love God, but also those who are God's enemies. Always. And it is that love that creates change within us. Love that makes us want to be more than who we already are. Love that unites us in the midst of whatever differences we have. Love that enables us to be perfect, to fulfill our purpose, to be fully human, just as our Father in heaven already has been.